Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Well, it is such a pleasure to speak tonight. I've been at the youth group as a leader for 8 years. I went to Frontline as a frontliner for 5 years. Myself and Holly's husband, Matt, came to Frontline on the same night when we were in grade six. That was our first night at Frontline, which was a long time ago. And I have had the pleasure, absolute pleasure, to see Frontline grow as it has. And we've got Holly and Matt as our pastors at the moment. And we've had Nick before them, Andy before them, Matt Daly, Chris Blacker, and many others before them as well that I wasn't there for either. But Frontline is such a great place, and it's grown and it's evolved into the family that we are now. So one of the cool things tonight is that we at LMC get to see what Frontline does, and Frontline get to see what LMC does tonight as well. So two notes I want to make before I get to my message. The first is, if you're part of our group at Frontline and you don't have a church, if you do have a church, stay at your church because you might be really connected there. But if you don't have a church, come along to LMC because we'd love to have you as part of our family here on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, whenever you can come. Second note is, if you're part of LMC and you have a child at youth, fantastic. Thank you so much for getting them along to our youth group. I was going to talk a lot about what we do at Frontline and what we've been speaking about, but God pointed me away from that. And I think I was thinking about it before. If you don't know what Frontline's been talking about this year, ask your child, because there are some really cool things that we've been studying throughout this year and the previous years, some really deep things, and it's so cool to be able to hear the minds of our youth. I mean, even, what was it, 5 weeks ago maybe, I've got the Year 9 boys, and they're a great bunch, really great bunch. Got a couple up the back there. And they are so mature in some of the things they say. They can be a little bit annoying sometimes as well, but the things that are in their heads, man, they're so in tune with some of the things that are going on in the world today, and so in tune with some of the things that are in the Bible. It's like they're just so eager to chat and to talk deep, you know, about all the deep stuff that we as humans have in our lives. So those are the two notes before my message. So let's get into it. Luke 24, verse 13. That same day, two of his followers were going into the town of Emmaus. It was about a two-hour walk from Jerusalem. They talked of all these things that had happened, talking about Jesus' death. While they were talking together, Jesus himself came and walked along with them. Something kept their eyes from seeing who he was. So the title of my message tonight, if you're writing notes, is Take a Moment to Notice. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the ability for us to be here together as a family, as a church. Lord, I just pray that you would speak tonight, that these words would be yours. We're here for you tonight, Lord. Amen. So before I get back to that story, and I will in a sec, we're going to do a little activity. And it might be a little bit uncomfortable, but I want us all to take 30 seconds without any talking, without any sounds. We're all going to close our eyes. And I want you to listen. Listen to what is around you and take note of the sounds that you can hear. So I'm going to get my phone out and time this just so I don't go beyond 30 seconds, because I know it can be uncomfortable. But here we go. Hey, that's 30 seconds. What did we hear? Tell me something that you guys heard. Someone dropped their phone. I heard that too. What else did we hear? The lights? Yep. you were timing. Anyone else hear anything? Kids, babies, yep. Did anyone hear the whistle of the breath next to them? Someone next to them with a whistly nose? These things are things that we don't notice, and it's a really interesting phenomenon that happens in our ears. It's something really interesting because we might walk into the room, there might be heaters going or a fan going that we don't even notice because there's people talking or there's music playing. We often try to have something happening. I do sound every now and then, and we try to have some sort of music happening to make it comfortable, but it means that we don't necessarily hear everything around us. And our auditory system, our ears and our brain that God created us with, actually have this mechanism built into them where if there's a sustained source of sound around us, then our ability to hear the smaller sounds is lessened. We're designed like this basically so that our ears can function in loud environments. Our ears will shift in sensitivity based on the average volume around us. So if there's a lot of noise, our ears will become less sensitive. And if the noise dies down, our ears become more sensitive. So during those 30 seconds, you might have noticed things that you might not have noticed before. This is called auditory masking or sound masking. And really interestingly, some workplaces or offices actually use this ability and mechanism in our ears to increase productivity. So people have worked out that if there's a lot of sound around us, it's hard for us to focus. If there's not much sound around us, then we feel exposed and we might not feel very comfortable. So some offices actually have speakers in the ceiling to create background noise to sort of optimize that environment around us. It's a really interesting effect of our ears. But tonight we're going to focus on the effects of an environment that is too loud. So let's go back to the disciples. These two disciples were walking back from back down a road, a two-hour journey, and they had just witnessed the brutal murder and death of their friend, their Messiah, they believed, which meant that it was their God. And it was very, very gruesome. It was very, very tough for them to witness that. They were surrounded by a noise, and the noise in that story was their emotions. They were surrounded by sadness, hopelessness. I can imagine that they would have been very angry. And their core beliefs were absolutely shattered because here they were thinking that they knew the Messiah. The Messiah was supposed to save them and rescue Israel, but they saw him die, so their beliefs were completely shattered. They wouldn't have been able to contemplate Jesus actually returning them, so I can imagine why they wouldn't have noticed who Jesus was. So Jesus actually came to them in the story, and he started walking with them, but the story says something kept their eyes from seeing who he was. So let's go back to the story. Continues in verse 17, he said to them, this is Jesus saying to them, "What are you talking about as you walk?" They stood still and looked at him, quite sad. One of them, whose name was Cleopas, said to him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who has not heard of the things that have happened here these days?" Jesus said to them, "What things?" They answered, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth. He was the great one who spoke for God. He did powerful works and spoke powerful words in the sight of God and the people. And the religious leaders and the leaders of the people gave him over to be killed and nailed him to a cross. We were hoping he was the one who was going to make the Jewish people free, but it was 3 days ago when these things happened. Some of the women of our group have surprised us and made us wonder. They went to the grave early this morning and they didn't find his body. They came back saying they'd seen angels in a special dream that said he was alive. Some of them who were with us went to the grave and found it as the woman has said, but they didn't see him." See, these two disciples had actually heard the news that Jesus was alive, but they couldn't hear it. It's like the words entered their ears and their brains, but their brains couldn't latch onto it because they were so surrounded by the noise of their emotions and of their environment. It stopped them from accepting this hope that these people were trying to tell them. And even later in the story, the man who we call Doubting Thomas, I could imagine being very much like Thomas. Thomas had been through the same thing that these two men had been through, and he couldn't accept, he couldn't physically accept any sort of hope or news of Jesus being alive until he actually saw proof. I could imagine being like that myself. Back to the story in verse 25, then Jesus said to them, "You foolish men, how slow you are to believe what the early preachers have said," talking about the prophets. "Did not Christ have to go through these hard things to come into his shining greatness?" Jesus kept on telling them what Moses and all the early preachers had said about him in the holy writings. When they came to the town where they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going farther. But they said to him, "Stay with us. It will soon be evening. The day is about over." He went to stay with them, and as he sat at the table with them, he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it. And he gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him. See, they finally were able to hear and see Jesus as he truly was. But it wasn't until Jesus actually did something that reminded them of who he was that they could actually hear this. And they finally heard. You see, sometimes I think that we can be like these two men. Our world around us is very loud, and it makes it difficult to live. But, I mean, it's not our fault. This is how our world is. And after Jesus' death and resurrection, there's a lot more access to God now than what there was. But it's still difficult. Like, Jesus isn't... I mean, Holy Spirit is inside us, but it's not like Jesus is physically here and I can go and have coffee with him or go to the movies with him or something like that, which is what I do with my friends. So I get that it's difficult, and I get that our world around us is very loud. It makes it difficult for us to truly connect and see God in those moments. We still live in a space that is somewhat disconnected from God. We're constantly surrounded by other sounds, and even the last couple of years of living through the pandemic, we were surrounded by the news, and I know myself, I watched the press conference with our premier pretty much every day because I wanted to know what was going on, and I don't think it was necessarily bad, but it meant that I was surrounded by lots of things, and even having a phone in my pocket, you know, it's like it's so quick to access anything on my phone, really, and it's like we're just surrounded by stimulus. And it's not that any of this is bad, it's just that God created us with a requirement to actually stop and pause and rest. Andy gave a wonderful message on rest. Encourage you to go back and listen to that podcast. It takes real effort sometimes to stop and to reflect and to allow ourselves to notice God in wherever we are. The psalmist used a word called Selah, or Selah, however you pronounce it. And early translations define this word as intermission. If you think about the Psalms as a song or a writing that you read and there might be a choir that's singing it, it's literally a command or a prompting to take pause and to reflect on what we've just read and to take notice of God. We need to be proactive and take moments of Selah in our daily lives. We need to pause and take a moment to notice God around us. A couple of months ago, I was watching an episode of The Chosen, and if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. It's a really, really cool TV show that's just been made recently about Jesus and Jesus' life. And this moment that I want to show you guys a video, this moment is a moment where Mary, Jesus' mother, is talking to the disciples about what it was like to raise Jesus. And the reason why I want to show you this is because when I watched this for the first time, it was like I was forced to take a moment to understand that Jesus actually existed. And sometimes, I mean, it's pretty obvious that he existed, but sometimes I think we forget that. It's like we come here and we do the things and we do church and we we pray, but Jesus actually existed. And I think sometimes we forget that because there's so much noise around us. And full disclosure, this isn't necessarily taken from Scripture, this part. There is artistic license at play, but I can imagine that this sort of conversation would have taken place. So let's watch that video and just take a moment to reflect that Jesus actually existed.
So how did you feel when it happened?
When what happened?
His birth. Even before that, how did you know? When did you know who he was?
I don't know. We're all tired. Do you really want to hear all that?
Yes.
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 Oh. Well, nothing about it was easy, I can tell you that. It wasn't in my hometown. My mother wasn't there. We had no midwife. I don't know if I'm ready to give all the details. Maybe some other time. But I do remember this. When Joseph handed him to me, it was like nothing I expected. It was like everything I'd heard about having a baby, but I thought this would be completely different.
What do you mean?
I had to clean him off. He was covered in... I will be polite. He needed to be cleaned. And he was cold. And he was crying. And he needed my help. My help. A teenager from Nazareth. It actually made me think for just one moment. Is this really the Son of God? And Joseph later told me he briefly thought the same thing. But we knew he was. I don't know what I expected. But he was crying and he needed me. And I wondered how long that would last. He doesn't need me anymore. Not since we taught him how to walk and eat. He hasn't needed me for a long time, I suppose. And after Joseph passed, may he rest in peace, he grew up even quicker. And I wish I could say that made me happy. Of course, as a Jew, I'm excited to see everything he does for our people, and I'm proud of him. But as a mom, it makes me a little sad sometimes.
Such an interesting conversation, and it allows us to stop and reflect that Jesus actually existed. And not only did he exist as a adult, as a very strong man, as a carpenter, as our savior, but he existed on this earth as a baby. As a little boy who, you know, God incarnate, God as man, he actually made himself humble enough to be a little baby. And some of those scriptures are so easy to skip over. Even the story of Jesus' birth is so easy to skip over. But taking a moment to notice that is so key. And it's so important for our relationship with God to recognize that God actually did all of that. We need to remember this, and we need to remember who God actually is, and acknowledge that everything we do, everything we read is actually true. You know, God actually existed as a little boy, and it means that he existed as a man, and it means that everything he did in the Scripture was true. And it means that today, everything we do up here on stage and in this building and in our lives, every time we pray to God, He actually hears that. You know, like, that's pretty cool that we have access to the Creator of the universe to actually talk to Him. These are things that we don't necessarily acknowledge until we give our time, until we give ourselves time and space to stop and reflect on this. And this is what the Bible talks about with that whole concept of Selah. We need to give ourselves time for our brains to reflect through that and actually contemplate those little truths. Those are the things that sometimes are skipped over, but those are the really important things. And even tonight is, have we got one baptism or two? Just one. This is, I mean, I've seen so many baptisms here, and it's so easy to be, you know, going through the motions, and it's like, well, they go down, they go up, and that's our cue to clap as a church, and we can go through that motion. But this is a divine appointment with God. And this is a key moment in someone's life. And this is God actually smiling upon this person and saying, this is my child. I'm very pleased with this child. And this is a really cool moment. So it's something that we can so easily skip over. But if we take a moment to notice the importance and the significance of moments like these, our lives will be much more rich. So that's pretty much it for the message. I didn't want it to be complex. I had a lot more thoughts that I could have shared, but God wanted to keep it really simple tonight. And I think it's basically because God doesn't want us to go away tonight thinking that service was good, you know, that part of the service was good, or I know pizza's really exciting tonight, but God doesn't want us to think about the pizza at youth supper tonight. God wants us to think about who He is and deepen our relationship with Him. So my encouragement for you tonight, a really simple one, as you go home tonight and you wake up tomorrow morning, know that God is actually real. And God is actually with you in that moment. Stop to reflect on those moments and know that God is with you in that moment. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for you and for your amazing presence and your amazing personality. Lord, we love you. And we thank you for tonight. We thank you for everything you do for us. Lord, I pray that the rest of the service would be honoring of you, would be glorifying of your name. And Lord, I just thank you for everything you do for us. Amen.